For members only. Golf Smarter number 428, published on March 18, 2014.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The Golf Rules Stroke Play, a fun and informative book by Richard Todd.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Richard.
Hey, Fred. It's great to be on. Thanks.
Thank you. So you've written this cute little book, but you're not an author. You're not a golf instructor. You're a guy with a job like all of us. But you had this need to write a book about golf rules. Why?
I did. I, like many golfers, I tried to get through the USGA's rule book.
Oh.
I know. Well, actually, I guess I should say like many. Most people don't own a copy, let alone crack it open. But I tried several times in my life to get through the book. And the last time was about 3 years ago. And I had read the section on tending the flagstick. And immediately, flashback 30 years to me being a teen and my dad taking me out with his friends for the very first time on the course. You know, of course, that's one of those wonderful times where you really feel proud because, you know, the old man's showing you off to his friends. And the first tee, you know, had the jitters, but kept it in the fairway.
Good.
Things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the first green. I'm tending the flagstick. My dad's just off the green. And, of course, he skulls it. It's going for a beeline for the hole. And I start pulling the stick out. And he starts yelling me to throw it back in because he's hoping for that ricochet. And, of course, that doesn't happen. And what does happen is the ball shoots right off the green and down the hill because it was a hilltop green. And at that point, he proceeds to tell me how happy he is that I'm here and tending the flagstick. Everybody in the group heard him. People on the course, I think, heard his comments to me. And at that point, you know, I'm feeling less than a caddy. Just I shouldn't even be on the course. So again, flash forward back to 30 years. I read this section and realize I was right. He was wrong.
Ooh.
But it stayed with me for 30 years. And at that point, I said, there's got to be a better way of learning the rules than from somebody telling you, because that somebody generally heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else who did not hear it from an authority figure who knows the rules.
Right. Right.
And so I said, well, that story in itself is a great example for this rule. Well, why don't I do that for all the rules? And one thing led to another. And 3 years later, we have the golf rules.
As opposed to the rules of golf.
Yes.
which is the USGA's book. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I have it sitting on my desk, the rules of golf, the 2012 to 2015 version. And I've never opened it because a couple of years ago I opened up the rule. I was like, you know, I should know this stuff. And I started and I'm like, I can't get through this. I have no idea what they're talking about. You know, it didn't sit with me. I couldn't absorb it. But when I read your book, everything changed. All of a sudden, all these rules, everything was in context of a round of golf. And I started recognizing things that I've been through and that people say, what's the rule on that, Fred? Because they think I would know. And I'm like, I don't know.
Exactly.
So then how did it come to be that you wrote the book as a story?
That first thought of the example, and then I just started putting more and more together, and I'm thinking, well, how can I blend this into a story as opposed to just, you know, 250 examples? Because that's out there, and that's boring, and it just hit me. So I've been golfing for 30-some years, and I've got lots of experiences, so it wasn't too hard to piece them all together. Although this book, when you talk about writing it, I didn't do it in a real systematic way. I had the rules of, or I had the USGA's rules of golf sitting open. I had notes on what I wanted to do. I had the decisions on the rules of golf open, and I had a notepad, and I wrote this out old school with paper and pencil. And I'm constantly flipping pages back and forth. And of course I had scorecards laying around because I was trying to come up with ideas for hole layouts. And it took a while. And but you're right. The USGA's rules of golf is very hard to read. But by design, it is the legal explanation of the rules. And you were talking about difficulty understanding. You know, there's a ball and there's the ball, and they are completely two different things. Or you have a golfer and the golfer. No, technically that's the definition. You know, like I am the golfer and you are a golfer. The ball I'm playing is the ball, as opposed to the one in my pocket, which is a ball.
Oh my God, that you've just. Okay, that clarified that. I had no idea. Awesome.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yes. It is very confusing. You know, the USGA does a great job at creating a definition that, shall we say, is the epitome of what it needs to be. It explains it. Matter of fact, in 2 days, I'll be heading up to Detroit for the USGA's rules schools. I'm putting my little air quotes in the air. It's 4 days of in-depth fun going through the rule book.
Oh, my gosh.
And even after...
Is this open to the... anybody can go to this?
Yes. You can go to the USGA's website, sign up. They have...
That will be a party, I can tell you. There's going to be guys who are going to just be drinking their... Really, a bunch of guys who are signing up to go hear about the rules that are not...
It's... Oh. Well, it's a diverse group. Last year, I was in Pittsburgh, and now most of the people in the room are course pros. There was somebody from the Big Break, an individual from the Golf Channel Tour. We even had USGA Hall of Fame members in the group.
Wow.
As well as tour officials. So the level is pretty up there, although there was a gentleman that had yet to complete a single round of golf.
No.
So he had the most questions.
Of course.
But
it's like, put it to use, you'll figure it out. So are you a rules freak? Do you love rules? Do you love golf rules?
I do, and also part of my day job is I'm a banking compliance manager.
So you're a golf compliance manager on the course.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
yes.
When you're on the course, you are the compliance guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you call people out on stuff all the time?
No. That was one of the things that when people heard I was going to the school, they're like, oh, great, you're going to be one of those guys that nobody wants to golf with.
Right. Because I won't play with you if that's...
Golf is, as you know, it's a game for yourself. Mm-hmm. Although if I'm playing with three other of my friends and they're rolling their ball out of every divot and they're not counting strokes in the pond, it's not an even game. And it's funny. So many people, it's irrelevant of how long you've been playing or how good you're playing, knowing the rules. This summer, I was playing with a friend of mine. Just so you know, he's a NASA engineer. So he's no dummy.
So an engineer, so he's another compliance type of guy.
Yes, but not about golf. he still has his golf bag he had in high school, which is he got from his dad. So it's the old leather golf bag.
Cool.
And the clubs to match. We were on the third hole, and he put one into the lake, and he looked at me and says, what do I do? How do I score that? He had no idea.
Interesting.
My dad called me up. My dad's been a scratch golfer. He's been on leagues at least twice a week his entire life. One of his playing partners used to play at Ohio State. And he was telling me about being an embedded lie, and it took him four strokes to get out. And as soon as he finished getting onto the green, his playing partner said, "Well, why didn't you just pick it up and drop it?" He goes, "I didn't know I could." So you never know.
You never know. You never know. Well, now that you said that, I think it's a good opportunity for a teaching. This is a good teaching opportunity here. Tell us what happens when you hit the ball in the water.
Well, there are, I believe, four options. Now, I write it. I don't have it all quite memorized.
What?
Of course, you can go back to the tee and play stroke and distance. There's... Oh, I'm having a
okay, but
a brain,
wait.
Brain
define stroke and distance here. If you have to go back to the tee, and I see I'm obviously had that wrong in my head. I thought stroke and distance is you'll take the distance where the ball went out, you pull it out, you just hit from right there, but you're hitting your third shot. Is that stroke and distance?
Or, no, stroke and distance is you go all the way back to where you hit it,
oops.
And you count the stroke.
But so you're going all the way back to where you hit it from. And
yep,
you're hitting
your last shot.
But you're not hitting your second shot. You're hitting your third shot, correct? You count the penalty. You count the ball in the water. You count pulling it out. And then you count.
That was correct.
And then you count your next stroke.
Right. And that
okay.
goes. And let's pretend it's lost in the trees. And you know a general area where it went in. But if you can't find it within your 5 minutes, it's a lost ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go back to the tee box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's not get into the slow play issue there.
Yeah.
But
or what marshals do or don't do.
Right. I don't think I've ever seen anybody actually drive back or walk back 200 yards to the tee box to hit again. You know, and
well, that's what a provisional that's what a provisional is all about. So you hit it, you like, oops, I think it's in the bush, it's in the trees over there, but I don't know if I'm going to find it. I might, but I'm going to hit another ball just in case. I'm hitting, you announce to the group, right? This is part
exactly.
of the rules. Part of the rules.
Yes.
You have to announce to your group, I am hitting a provisional, which to me, I'm hitting a Pro V1, provisional. I'm hitting, that's why I won't play with those balls. It's like, I'm not hitting provisionals. So, all right, so now you're hitting the provisional, but if you don't find the first ball, and you better know what ball you're playing, then you've got to, then you're hitting your third stroke.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Glad I have that right. So then what is, when do you get to say, all right, well, I lost my ball over here, or it's not to be found, or I hit it just beyond the out of bounds line here, and just pull it no closer to the hole, but hit from that general area. Is that not? Is that cheating?
Well, if you're talking out of bounds, yeah, there's no dropping near. It's go back.
Okay. Oh, is this a lateral? Are we talking about a lateral? What's
well,
a lateral hazard?
Is it a red stake or a yellow stake? Well, red stake is rare. I don't know what yellow means.
We get red and white out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, I've never seen a yellow stick.
Right. So, it gets very confusing, as you can see.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wait, now we don't know. If it's a lateral hazard, what does that mean? Do you know?
You can.
You didn't write the rules of golf. You wrote the golf rules.
Right, which explains them. A lateral water hazard, so you've got the stroke and distance, and go back. You can drop behind the lateral hazard on a line from the flagstick to where you're at. But depending on how that creek moves, you could be farther back than the tee box.
No, isn't it where the ball goes over? When it crosses the out of bounds or that area, really?
There's no line of flight rule.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
People have been making that up. I mean, the guys that I play with, it's like, no, you can't go any closer to the hole. You got to go in the line where it was like, really? Oh boy.
I might be confusing my water hazards up right now.
Okay.
But yes.
Sorry to put you on the spot then.
So, that's okay.
Okay. So then let's talk about how this book reads, because I don't want to put you on the spot, because I want to, we're gonna do a part two of this conversation, and we're going to get into some of these rules. So you better hone up quickly, because we got about five more minutes, and then we're going to head into a part two of this conversation. Are you going to have time for that?
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay, good. So, so tell me how you laid it out. So this is not an actual round of golf. Your book doesn't, it's just like compiling all these different rounds that you had and all these different moments where people didn't follow the rules. I almost said cheated. They didn't follow the rules according to the rules of golf, and someone gets called on it. So explain, because this is what I loved about your book, is it put it in context, and then you, at the end of each chapter, which there are 18, because it's a round of golf.
Right.
Right. So then at the end of each chapter, you have the footnotes to everything that you mark throughout the book. It's like, here, I'm on page 10. I said, "I'll hit first," Dick spoke up, "since I have the lowest handicap." And then in parentheses, you have C1.3, C1.4. And then you go to the end of the chapter and it says C1.3. "The order of play on the first hole is decided randomly by lot. The person with the lowest score thereafter goes first, has honors on the next hole." And then C1.4, "Order of play does not include handicap strokes. Only the actual number of strokes on a hole." So it's like, oh, you know, it's like, and I have an issue with the honors rule as it is, but that's my own kind of weirdness. But that's how the book works. And and through the 18 chapters, you pretty much cover all the rules, right?
Yes, in a stroke play.
In stroke play. Well, this book is called The Golf Rules Stroke Play.
Right. And of course, you can't have stroke play and match play at the same time. But want to make that distinction, because we've got two more books coming out. The next one's on golf etiquette, and the one after that is on match play.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks for letting me know. And I have a friend who does that every time. He goes, "Aha, I beat you on that hole. That's the first hole I beat you on, but I'm down by 9 strokes." You know, it's like he plays both match and stroke play on every round we play. Not, you can't do that?
Well, I suppose you could have two different set of rules playing at the same time.
He's just trying to be.
Can you play Uno and poker at the same time?
No, come on. You can't. No, that. Well, we don't play for money anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So, that's addressed in the book too.
What, playing for money?
Yes.
Yes.
USGA, of course, has comments on that.
And go ahead, explain.
All wagering and betting must be done and agreed upon before the round starts.
Well, that's the way I feel about all rules for a round of golf. Everyone agree before we get started. Let's just agree that, you know, like anything inside the leather is a gimme. Okay, fine. You know, it's like, as long as we agree on these things, and you can't go, "Oh, wait, and now I'm the third hole. Oh, wait, I got another one." No, you can't do that.
You know, that's an interesting point. This gets down to knowing the rules and following the rules and what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. The actual rules say you can't agree to not follow a rule. That's disqualification. So what you just said means everybody in your group would be disqualified.
From what?
Well, there's not. Yeah, you really don't have a big pride. But yeah,
I'm not talking about competitive play, the local championship. I'm just talking about a round of golf on Saturday with my buddies. And it's like, okay,
and I've got nothing. Yeah, you can do that. You can definitely do that. You know, it's whatever you. Golf's a game of fun. It's supposed to be, at least.
Just don't play with a compliance guy.
You know, he may agree to that, but you know, don't try to post your scores as a handicap. For your handicap calculations.
Oops. I will. What's your favorite rule that you love to call out? Do you have one that you like? You see all the time and go, you know, you really can't do that.
You know, I'm gonna go with my son's favorite rule, and that's do not give advice. And he uses that because my father won't shut up. the course pro, you know, of course, that doesn't know any of the rules is always giving advice. So my son likes to tack on 2 strokes every time he opens his mouth.
So wait, is that an official rule that you cannot give advice?
Yes, it is a two-stroke penalty.
Really? Because I've got a guy who's telling you what to do all the time. You just want to go, leave me alone.
Yes. Memorize that rule number. I don't have it memorized.
It's a two-stroke penalty. Oh, David, yeah. You are me. Okay, this is we're interviewing Richard. David is the guy I was just talking about. So I got to ask you one last thing before we wrap this part up. You've been listening to Golf Smarter? You've heard it?
Yes, I've been listening for 9 years. I've heard every episode you've ever done.
Oh, wow! Thank you. Really? Okay. Thank you. That's very
matter
kind
of fact.
You.
You've mentioned me 4 times throughout your career.
You've got a scorecard on that. That's very funny. Well, thank you. Well, I got to say, because this book is the foursome that you have in this book is your son, your dad, right? You.
Yes.
And
me and my brother-in-law.
And your brother-in-law. Okay, so it's a family affair here, and you did a very nice job. I got to say, I'm kind of freaked out by this, but you dedicated the book to your dad and your son and your daughter and your wife for being so supportive. Why, Richard, why would you possibly include beyond your wife, your daughter, your son, your father, why did you dedicate the book to me? I was so blown away when I saw it. It's like, dude, you listen to a podcast. What did I do?
Well, as it says, you've done a number of things. You provide such great content that's so wide in variety. You know, I loved listening to the caddies that have played all over the world and hearing talks behind the ropes, as well as new products and inventions. But really, the last line, you did help me to drop 20 strokes.
How is that possible? I've never played with you. I've never held the club for you.
One of your podcasts made a very simple comment. It was really off the cuff. May have even been by Martin Chuck. I'm not sure. But my dad, despite him being such a great golfer, gave me no lessons. Uh-huh. And he was left-handed and I'm not, so he probably wouldn't have helped anyhow. But the Golf Smarter podcast has been very enjoyable.
What that tip was. Do you know? Do you remember?
Absolutely. But it's going to make me sound like a terrible golfer. I didn't realize that.
Well, you just said you dropped 20 strokes. How good could you be?
Well,
sorry.
I was really, really, really bad. It was about this swing plane being circular and not, you know, you don't hit on a straight path to make the ball go straight. That was always my interpretation. Uh-huh. So I literally, my swing path was almost straight down the line.
Oh.
And that's why I had such a terrible hook on the slice.
Oh, so then you just went out and realized that and started doing a different swing path and your game changed dramatically.
Along with other things that you've mentioned, you know, just relaxing.
It's not that
management.
I mentioned. Richard, I never mentioned these. It's other people. I'm just asking questions.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you. I am so humbled and flattered by the dedication. I can't tell you how it was nice enough for you to write in my copy of the book, but then to read on and went, what? My name's in print. That just blew me away, and I thank you very, very much. And that's not why I had you on the show to talk about me, but I really, really did enjoy your book, and I think it's a valuable valuable piece for everybody's book collection because in this simple read, and again, it's not even 100 pages, you're going to get clarification on so many things that have come up in your rounds and you're like, oh, and it makes so much sense. So congratulations on really putting a very good book together.
Thank you very much.
All right. So now I'm going to have you read it to yourself really quickly because we are going to go back into this conversation and we are going to talk about rules, specific rules. And that'll be part two. The book is available in our Golfers Mart via Amazon. Is there a digital version of it, or do you just need to have it in your library?
There is an ebook available.
Awesome. So you can get it for your Kindle type of thing?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So you can do that. And again, you can get that through the Golfer's Mart. And you can get more at thegolfrules.com, right?
Absolutely. We're on Facebook, Twitter. There's a YouTube book trailer. And we have a blog. All of that can be found at thegolfrules.com to spring off.
Richard, thanks so much for the kind words and for joining us here.
My pleasure, Fred. Thanks so much.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.